You're listening to the Constructing You podcast. Hi, I'm Eleanor Mosher, and I'll be sharing the stories of the people behind the projects. You'll get to hear interviews with exceptional leaders and industry titans in the property and construction industry. I don't only want to find out what they do, but also who they are and who they've had to become to achieve what they have. You'll get insights, ideas, and advice that will serve to build your career to reach new heights. Let's go on this growth journey to construct ourselves together. You ready?
Hello, and welcome back to Constructing You. Now, other than Constructing You, it's been 1 month since my book launched. Have you been constructing your career? I have absolutely loved getting your feedback about what resonated, what is working from you, how you are applying it. So thank you so very much for your endless support. And a question that I now frequently get asked is if the book is meeting my expectations. Well, the only way that I am able to measure that is via, of course, the feedback that I get. Because it's not about how many copies it sells. It's about how many people it impacts, how many people along their journey in construction make a decision to pick up my book and let that book shape and transform and construct their career with me. And that will take a long time to realize and to eventuate. So I don't necessarily have short-term expectations for my book, but I certainly have very, very long-term expectations for my book, and I see it being in all the hands of the people who need to read it the most. And it doesn't have anything to do with your job title. It has nothing to do with your years of experience. It has everything to do with your ambition, your achievement orientation, and the willingness to get into the driver's seat of your own career and make what you want of it. And that is precisely what my next guest has achieved. It is the one and only Melanie Cozidlo. You will see in this episode that a career in construction or property is not a linear trajectory. It can tailor and be tapered to make of it what you want. You can say yes to an opportunity. You can say no to an opportunity. But one aspect of massive career success, and I also talk about this in my book, it's one of the four contributors to career success, is who you are. We talk a lot about the person that you are. And of course, that ties in so intimately with this podcast, which is about constructing you. The issue with people not knowing who they are is because they spend more time planning their next holiday or where they're going to go on the weekend rather than figuring out the strength of their person, their core values, what they stand for, what they are here to do. People don't know who they are because they never actually take any time to figure it out. And I took a lot of time to figure this out, and it was in part of my own mentoring journey with Ron that I figured myself out on the macro and the micro. Before that, I couldn't even name my top seven values. Now I can. Now I get to be all of who I am instead of feeling that I have to be compromised or dulled down. That's not how it works, and Mel is just another successful example of the power of your person, of knowing who you are. Now, a bit more about Mel. Mel is the Director, Strategy and Business Relations at GrowthBuild, where she partners with CEOs and executives to develop strong teams of industry professionals in the property, development, and construction industry. Drawing upon her knowledge of multiple industry sectors, Melanie currently drives the effective implementation of GrowthBuild's business development and growth strategy, and has done so since early 2017, where she holds a leading role on the senior executive team. Her career continues to be colored with awards and board positions and immense contribution to the industry, which is best heard from Mel. So, here's to Constructing You with Melanie Cozidlo. Hello, Mel, and welcome to Constructing You.
Eleanor, thank you for having me. It's great to hear from you, and I'm happy that we're reconnecting.
Oh, it's been a while, and I've loved seeing your career just flourish and expand and evolve ever since years and years ago we had the opportunity to work together.
Oh, thanks, Eleanor, and I actually feel the same about you. I love watching you grow and flourish, and I think what you're doing for the industry is incredibly, incredibly amazing. So I feel the exact same towards you, but thank you for your kind words.
My pleasure and privilege, and I've been looking forward to this conversation because not only do I love conversations with high achievers and high performers, but everything that you do in your career is just phenomenal, and I cannot wait to share that with the audience. But before we get into that, let's lay some fast foundations so they can get to know you really quickly. You ready?
Yep, off we go.
Where'd you grow up?
Linfield on the North Shore.
And where do you live now?
I live in Willoughby.
And what is your favourite quote?
Favourite quote is, people will not necessarily remember what you say, but they'll always remember how you make them feel.
It's by Maya Angelou.
Oh, there you go. Yes, it is.
Yes.
It is. So you know it as well. It's a fantastic one. I love it.
Of course. You just don't forget that, as the quote says.
No.
What is one of your superpowers?
I don't know if a superpower, although I love and believe I can bring out the best in people. So I don't know if that's a superpower, but I believe that I have the ability, I try to have the ability and push people to bring the best out of themselves. So I'm not quite sure if I'd call that a superpower, but that's what came to mind when you asked me that question.
It is a superpower because there are people who bring out the worst in other people. So
that's true. Well, I try to bring out the best anyway.
I think you do. What is one of your favourite books?
One of my favourite books is actually The Power of Now. I always go back to referencing some of the quotes and things in that book and reminding myself that now is the most important time more than ever. So that's one of my favourite books, The Power of Now.
It's very dense in its reading. It took me a long time to get through it, but I'm very glad that I did because you can still be grounded in the present and have a really big vision for the future, but we really owe a lot to the present as well.
I completely agree. And that's, I was going to say that we need to have a vision for the future, but it's very important that we don't skip ahead too far and don't appreciate the days in which we live.
No, and as high achievers, and this has come up on a few podcast episodes, is when you're constantly striving and reaching, you forget to stop and pause, but you can be proud and still not satisfied. So it's a fine balance for us high achievers.
Absolutely. No, I completely agree.
What is one thing you are most challenged by right now?
I'm most challenged by the fact that I have a growing baby in my belly, and I've got so much to do before she comes along. So my challenge is to get all that, most of the things done I need to get done before she arrives, especially setting up the business for success whilst I'm off, which I'm sure they will absolutely thrive. But that is my biggest challenge, is to get everything done that I need to, but also know that I won't get everything done and be satisfied and okay with that at the same time. So that's what I'm challenged by right now.
That's haven't had that challenge before, and definitely not something we can offer advice on, but it must feel quite, not strange. Strange isn't the right word. Maybe a bit surreal.
Yeah, it is. It's quite ironic, actually. And thinking about a growing child, that's kind of the one thing during, I guess, quite a tough time for the economy in the world right now, is that a child growing will not stop. Nothing will stop for a child growing, whereas the world at the moment is being pushed and moved and changed and stopped and started left, right and centre. But the irony is that the child growing inside me will not stop, and it is growing, and it is quite a beautiful thing at the same time when you look at the world around you. So a bit of irony there.
We can only hope that it all works out and she's more than healthy. Now, what is one of your favourite achievements to date?
One of my favourite achievements actually is my children, to be honest with you. So I've got two beautiful boys, and having a girl the third time around, which we're still in shock about, I was saying earlier. Very excited, and the boys are very excited to bring her into the family. But they are my favourite achievements to date in terms of everything, really. So, you know, they brighten up our world and make everything even more purposeful and meaningful.
And what is one of your favourite buildings?
It's funny when you're looking at this question, my favourite building, I thought, as an interior architect and in architecture and in design and construction, you'd think I'd say something overseas in New York or Spain, but my favourite building is actually my home, which again is quite an interesting thing for an interior architect to say. So my home is my favourite building.
And wherever that may be at the time is my favourite building. So that's probably not the most aspirational, inspirational answer you've ever had from somebody in the construction development industry, but that is my favourite building. But if I was to choose something, it would be the Guggenheim in terms of an architectural building. If I was to choose an architectural building, it would be the Guggenheim. But my favourite building, what comes to mind straight away, is my home.
I love that answer because, I mean, home is where some of the greatest memories happen, and home is where the most important things in our life are kept and where they are made. And so, yeah, home is definitely where the heart is.
It is.
Above everything that you are doing and imminently expecting, what are you learning right now?
What am I learning right now? I think I'm learning even more so sometimes to surrender to our surrounding environment in a positive way, surrender and find a way forward, which may be a changed world or a changed environment, building on resilience. But I think that word surrender really kind of resonates with what we're learning right now, or what I'm learning right now. So yeah, it's just surrendering, but then also still looking at the future and looking at what that might look like, even though it might be different to what you thought it would be or people thought it would be. You're seeing that vision and finding a place for your goals in a changed world, but knowing you can control what you can control, but you can't control everything else around you.
It's focusing on what you can, and that's the ethos that I always maintain, but especially this year, I will focus on what I can. I'm not going to expend energy on precisely what I cannot control.
Yes, absolutely.
100% want to get to your career, and pun intended, but your future was cemented when you first stepped onto a construction site at the age of 3. And I know from meeting you, you're so intensely passionate and diversified in every respect. But let's start with your career. So can you talk us through your humble beginnings to your current incredible heights?
Yeah, I'd be delighted. My father's a builder. So as you mentioned, I was on a construction site at the age of 3. And I do remember going to a construction site with my dad, and it really touching and stringing a chord with me that it was incredibly interactive and vibrant and moving. And I thought, I just remember that first time I did go on a construction site, and I was 3, but I do remember it. So I think from then on, I've had a connection to the built form and the built world. And then when we were choosing, obviously, what to do with our futures at school, interior design and interior architecture really struck a chord with me, because I love design. I love things that bring light and vibrance to a space. So connecting then the construction world with design, interior architecture at the University of New South Wales seemed to be an obvious choice for me. So I then was at the University of New South Wales for 5 years and met an incredible group of people who are still my best friends today, which was, I graduated in 2004 or 5, I believe, around that time. So we're still best friends today. We've followed each other's careers. We've all taken different paths in different areas of the industry. Some have their own businesses, some are in construction, some are in property and development, some are in magazines and design. So we've all followed each other and helped each other on our paths from university. But that was really the catalyst for propelling myself into an incredible career that I do have now. And the positivity that surrounded me at university with a great group of people really sort of set myself up for success in believing and backing in myself and loving what I do. I then, after university, joined a company called WMK, Watermark Architecture at the time, where my cousin Kate Cowlishaw works, who actually is still in the industry. She's at Bates Smart now, and worked there for part-time for a while. And then I thought it was time to do something a bit different. And so I was looking around for different opportunities and landed a job at a company called Toga. I was at Toga for nearly 10 years doing all different roles at the Toga Group, and it really was the most incredible journey, and still it holds such a fond place in my heart, Toga, and I'm still very fond of all the people that I was fortunate to meet and still in contact with quite a few of them. And Lottie Vidor, who is the owner of Toga with her husband Erwin Vidor, was my first female mentor. So she really showed me success and what women can do in the world of construction, development, and property, and what success looks like. And again, believing and backing in what you do for the industry. So she took me under her wing, and I was quickly propelled into project management from design documentation. So I was project managing hotels in the refurbishment space, the Travelodge, Medina, and Vibe hotels, managing them as a project manager, the whole job. I was also acting as a site manager at the time, so doing two roles at once, which I absolutely loved. You know, it taught me a lot about business, a lot about life, a lot about the industry and how things come to fruition. Absolutely loved it. I worked very, very hard and quite long hours because I absolutely loved it. Was quite young. I think I was 21. I graduated quite young from university because I was quite young at school, and then went from a project manager to design management, working with external architects at Toga Steel, and then to assistant development management, looking at assets that Toga bought and then converting them into residential apartments. So from hospitality to residential. And then in the final years at Toga, I was heading up the client relations investor side of the business, where there was a gap for somebody to look after the investors that bought apartments off the company. So, and because my love for people, I, you know, naturally fell into that role and was working with people during their settlements and defects and all that fun stuff. But understanding and being patient with people was one of the biggest assets I could bring to that role. And I also learned a lot too, managing different people's emotions when they bought into apartments. So that was my initial start of my career at Toga. And during that time at Toga, I met my leadership coach, and he really challenged me in my career in life. But I was very, very fortunate to have the opportunity to meet him during my time at Toga through my boss, actually. And he really believed in me. And so we started to work together for many, many years and challenged me in relation to leadership and what it looked like, how I could be a good leader, how I could be a good leader at Toga, how I could be a good leader in the world, what my aspirations were for myself out there. And, you know, for a few years it was very, very tough because I was quite young as a woman as well in construction, trialing new leadership styles within group meetings, PCGs, leadership meetings. And for the people were wondering sort of what is this new style that I think Mel is trying in terms of leadership. But then after a few years, I kind of popped out the end of that and was transformed in my eyes as having the resilience and strength into what I do today. And I'm so thankful for those opportunities where I was pushed and pulled by my coach and challenged what it meant to be a leader. And I really, you know, really so grateful for that, because I feel I've had an incredible opportunity that has allowed me to be the resilient, strong woman that I am today in my role in life because of that leadership coaching early on. After Toga, I had my first child. So I had Taj. So he's my eldest son. He's nearly seven, actually. And amazing to have a child after working, you know, quite strongly 10 years at the same company. And then I had Taj and was off. I was only going to have 6 months off, but then, you know, perspective changes and you think about what you want to do in your life and what you would do in your career. And I wanted to try getting into non-for-profit for a while, which was interesting and challenging at the same time. And my perception was that the non-for-profit world would love to have a corporate knowledge, whether it's a man or a woman, a corporate person in their business, although it is quite a closed-off industry, the non-for-profit space with a philanthropic side. So it was for 3 months I was, you know, talking to companies and understanding what they wanted and what their roles were and what they could do, et cetera, et cetera. And then I was meeting everybody. But like I mentioned, it's quite a closed off group. So after looking into that for quite a few months, I decided to venture back into a career in construction. And once I did that, it was interesting, as once my resume was out in the, I guess, into the industry with a few recruiters, there was incredible opportunities flying my way left, right and centre. And it really showed that people look black and white at a resume and what your experience is. And again, it's quite ironic and interesting today. I'm making more of an impact in non-for-profit groups by being in the role I'm in and sitting on boards and committees than I would have had done if I'd been actually as an employee in a non-for-profit group. So it's good that things work out for the way they do, and I'm glad that I am able to make an impact in non-for-profit groups today by being, I guess, in the role that I am in and well-connected. I can bring more positive outcomes to non-for-profit groups from where I sit. So that journey, I then picked up a job at a group called ADCO Constructions as a business development manager. And I actually really didn't know what a business development manager was, to be honest with you. But the recruiter met me and said, oh, you'd be fantastic in this role and you've got to meet the MD and you've got to meet these guys. And I did, and I still really didn't know what the role was, to be honest. And it really, it was about, you know, connections and people, and that's what they saw in me and hired me as a business development manager. and loved the role. I was there for 2.5 years, and it is all about connections and understanding the industry and how things work and how jobs come to the table and who do you partner and connect with. And then I had another baby. So then I had Rome, my second child, who's now 3.5, nearly 4. And then whilst I was off, I was approached by a few companies, actually. So I only had 3.5, 4 months off, approached by a few companies, and one of those companies was Growthbuilt. There was a few offers on the table, Growthbuilt being one of them, but then I met one of the CEOs at Growthbuilt, and there was a connection straight away in terms of their ambition and their passion, their desire and their drive, and I really felt a contact and connection there. Whilst there was great other opportunities with big reputable companies on the table, I listened to my gut and went with my heart, and that has served me well, I guess, throughout my life in using that gut instinct to make decisions about what's going to be right for you and not necessarily listening to other things out there in the ether, but doing what's right for you. And it's been the best decision I have made in my career. And the last sort of 3.5 years at Growthbuilt have really been momentous in what we have done as a company, what I've been able to do in my career, the impact I've been able to make in the industry for women in construction and for hopefully inspiring other women at school and at university to continue on their path of pushing themselves and believing in themselves. But so at Growthbuilt, I joined as the head of business development, and then after 2 years was promoted to the director of strategy and business relations, and really drived and diversified the company of Growthbuilt and looked into how do we sustain a business that was primarily focused on residential and bringing it into other sectors like aged care and education and commercial. And we did that after 1.5 years by a lot of strategic approaches and employing some of the best people in those sectors and really kind of increased the turnover in those sectors. So completely changed and flipped the mix of the sector spread across the business. And so that's what I'm doing now, and I love it, you know. And I'm now on 2 boards, so the New South Wales Foundation Board, and also assisting the GWS Foundation Board, and on in quite a few committees. So the PCA Diversity Committee, the Cornet Committee, both on those in that exec capacity, and quite a few other subcommittees as well, doing all different things for the industry and giving back and speaking up and ensuring that you speak your mind and do what's best and what you believe in. So that's where I am today.
Ever wanted to become a renowned expert and become a recognized leader in your organization? Now you can. Eleanor Moshe's exclusive mastermind, Magnify Your Construction Career, is open for enrollment. Email info@eleanormoshe.com today for a consultation to secure your transformative opportunity.
Even if the interview were to end here, there is just tons of value in there. A, to show that a career in construction and closely related industries is really not this linear, fit in the box, here's a job title pathway. It's none of those things. It can be so diverse and so fulfilling, as you have experienced. And what resonated with me was having that belief in the belief that a mentor has in you. And this is exactly what happened to me a year ago. And just believing in that belief can take you further than you ever thought was possible. And clearly we're seeing that today with everything that you do. Now, one thing that you are really good at is every business you go, you just change the trajectory of it for the better. You set businesses up for success. And there are a lot of business leaders listening. And of course, times have been challenging as of recent. So what's your advice for business leaders, and why are you so good at being quite influential at that executive level of, directing businesses to say, this is where we need to go?
Well, it's a very good question. It's understanding the business in which you work, and then also understanding the people who own that business and where they've come from, what their passion is. And it's very important that you align with those businesses, if you're working in those businesses. That's a very, very important thing. And I've always said to everybody, for me, it's not what you do and not where you do it, but it is who you do it with. And do you connect with the person that you're doing it with and the people that you're doing it with? So for me, it's very, very important that you find people you can connect and resonate with and grow with in your career. And that's the first part of value alignment in being able to bring businesses and pull businesses into an area in which they would like to play. But in terms of, I guess, why am I so brilliant at what I do? I mean, I don't think I'm brilliant. I think it's how we empower each other to bring out the best of, bring out brilliance in one another or bring out brilliance in the business, and ensuring that everybody's on the journey. You can't do anything alone. And everybody talks about this, something that isn't new to everybody. You cannot do anything alone. It is about a team. It is about people. It is about ensuring they believe and trust in what you are trying to achieve, although they also know that you'll have their back in times where it might be tough or there is a struggle or there is a conflict or there is something that needs to be resolved. So it's very important that people know that you are one team and that they feel valued, because everyone likes to feel valued. I like to feel valued. Everyone likes to know they're adding value to something. And if they feel they're adding value to something, they'll continue to push themselves to achieve even more. So that is what creates brilliance in a business. That is what creates businesses thrive and grow and push themselves, is the people and good leaders behind and around that business. So I'm not sure if that answers your question, Eleanor, but that's what, you know, again, it all comes back to the people, how they feel and what they do. And do they feel like there's a deeper purpose and deeper meaning in helping that business grow into what it would like to grow into?
That absolutely answers the question. And so closely ties in with the ethos of this podcast, which is it's about the people behind the project and the right people that just have this amazing energy together can achieve things beyond our own imagination. So no, that certainly answered the question. So when I was doing my due diligence on you, you said in a PCA feature that being yourself, you can and will achieve anything you want. And on the topic of leadership, you are someone who is extremely authentic and you come across as nothing less. Many people say, be authentic, be who you are, but they have no idea what that means and how to be that. So what's your advice on authenticity and how being true to yourself at all times has really contributed to this career success that you have?
Yeah, that's a really important topic to talk about, everybody of all ages, really. And I think, and I know my grandfather actually said to me, when he was, you know, in his final kind of years of his life, that he kept growing and learning and uncovering who he was as a person. And authenticity is about knowing who you are, and believing in who you are, accepting parts of who you are that make up, you know, what you are as a person. But authenticity comes from believing in yourself. But you have to believe in yourself, you need to know who you are and what you stand for. So it's quite important that people know their values and aren't swayed in those values, and dependent on which situation in which they find themselves in, they aren't pushed and pulled to align themselves with certain things if they don't feel like that doesn't align with who they are. Not to say that you will be argumentative in relation to other people's values or other people's beliefs, but it's very important that you do stand up for, and diplomatically stand up for, what you believe in. So authenticity definitely is connected to knowing who you are, and if it's hard to be authentic unless you know that. That's the first thing in relation to authenticity. And once you do know who you are, it actually isn't that hard to really, you know, walk your walk and talk your talk and walk into a room and know what it is that you stand up for, because you back yourself, you believe in yourself, you know what you stand for, you know what that means. You know, if people don't like it necessarily, that doesn't bother you, because you are there to be who you are. And in business, it's for me, it's not important to be liked. And a lot of leaders talk about this. It's not important to be liked. It is important to have influence on people and the outcome, and a positive influence on them. If everybody tries to be liked by everybody, then you're definitely not being authentic, because it doesn't happen in that way. You know, not everyone likes everybody, and that's just the world we live in. But if you are true to who yourself, and you act in a way that you know is what you stand for, then you are being authentic, and naturally people will gravitate to you regardless of whether they initially like you or not. The authenticity, especially in Australia, the authenticity of people is what breaks through and what brings resolution, what brings discussion, what brings robust discussion, what brings innovation. Everybody's different thoughts and ideas is what changes the world and changes businesses. But if you can't be authentic, then that can't happen. So, you know, it's, again, I'm not quite sure if I answered the question, although authenticity for yourself is you need to know who you are. And once you do, it's not hard to be authentic.
That so answers the question again. And you can't see, but I'm nodding vigorously, because once upon a time, I didn't spend the time actually figuring out who I was and what I stand for. And I wasn't being all of who I am. I compromised, and that diminishes your light, that diminishes your energy. And then I did start off the thought leadership mentoring path. And the first part was figuring out all of who I am. And then it comes with this certain clarity of really understanding every aspect on the macro and the micro of your unique value and then owning it. And when you do, the first thing that happens is, yeah, people start getting repelled by you. And I think that's great because you're not meant to be someone for everyone. If you are, again, you're doing something wrong.
Yep, no, absolutely. And you know, it's about that influence that you bring. If you are influential in a bigger purpose or an outcome, they will respect that. They will respect the fact that you have brought to the table what you believe to be true to you. And that's really all that matters at the end of the day. And you'll gain their respect because they will appreciate that you have been strong and that you have been true to yourself. And it was probably hard to be true to yourself. So people do respect and see that in another way.
That they do. Now, something that you are, again, very passionate about is diversity. And you are an active champion of the Property Council of Australia's diversity agenda. You're part of the diversity committee in New South Wales and a key contributor to initiatives like the 500 Women in Property and Girls in Property. But I don't think anyone understands diversity at its core more than you. And it's more than just gender. So can you talk about what diversity means for you and how we actually see it in practice?
Yeah, absolutely. And diversity, I mean, women in construction is still such a big topic because it's got so far to go. So, you know, women is definitely the front running diversity and inclusion topic in construction, and as it should be for construction. And it took me a while to actually accept that because I thought, oh, I know all parts are equal. But in construction, women are so far behind and are a minority in the construction industry. So it's still a topic that needs to be talked about and understood and pushed more than most. But diversity in general and diversity and inclusion is so important across many, many boards. It's about acceptance for everybody to be, again, who they are, that authenticity piece. So people aren't judged on their cultural background. They're not judged on their religion. They're not judged on their age. They're not judged on their looks. They're not judged on their sexual orientation. People should be accepted for who they are and how they were born and what they bring, you know, to their role in their skill sets, as opposed to, you know, what makes them. But the most important thing in diversity and inclusion is that you need different people around a table to actually bring innovation and new ideas. If everybody is the same and everybody has come from the same background, the same upbringing and the same age and same context and same degree, then you won't be able to challenge each other around a table because you'll all be in agreeance. There'll be no new ideas, there'll be no challenges, there'll be no robust conversations. So the most important part for diversity and inclusion in not just construction but the industry is that it breeds innovation. And I've mentioned this quote before, that companies actually are 19% more profitable where they have innovation and new ideas, and where they have good diversity and inclusion understanding about why people, you know, why it's important. And most companies, from what I can see, you know, this happens, it does happen naturally. But if it doesn't, then you need to talk about it and raise it and address it when there are biases and where there are people making decisions based on things that they may not even know they're making decisions on, which is called the unconscious bias. You don't understand why you make certain decisions, but you are choosing or aligning with someone who is similar to yourself as it makes more sense to you. But as a leader, you need to ensure that you ensure there are challenged conversations around the table. And even if you don't understand or agree, that you need to hear these conversations so you can actually make good decisions for the business. So diversity and inclusion, again, covers all those different areas: women, LGBTI, culture, religion, age, you know, the identity of people, the Indigenous community, everything that makes up difference in people. And difference is so important because, again, that makes you authentic. So it comes back again to that authenticity piece. And I guess for me, that's what diversity inclusion, you know, is all about. And just, again, keep talking about it and discussing it and raising it. And because if you don't, then there will be people that don't understand the whole diversity inclusion message, and the businesses will become same, and there won't be any difference, and there won't be any challenges, and then, you know, businesses won't grow and thrive and bring in money and new revenue, and people will be wondering why. It's because that diversity inclusion discussion has dissipated. And nothing more evident than, you know, there have been people trying to push women into construction for many, many years, and it is actually going backwards. So it just proves that we need to continue to have this conversation around diversity and inclusion, and why it is very important within industries and especially construction for there to be an education around why construction, development and property is a fantastic industry to work, which, you know, leads back to what I'm talking to some private schools and some public schools about in relation to bringing women into the construction industry, which PCA Girls in Property do famously. And so it's just widening up that net into all the different school avenues to continue to educate the girls at school about why and what they should be looking at as a career in construction, development and property. It's just a lack of knowledge. They don't understand, or they haven't been exposed, I should say, to the incredible career they could have in construction, development, property, as that it just, it's not, I guess it's not known within the school environment as to what the construction, development, property industry brings and all the different roles that exist, you know, development managers, construction managers, asset managers, head of global real estate, the incredible roles you can have within developers and property groups and real estate firms and project managers and consultants and builders. They're just not educated enough. So I think over the next, you know, 10 to 20 years, the more education we do for girls at school will really help bring and widen that net for women to join and stay in the construction, development and property industry.
Again, Mel, everything that you do and everything that you stand for just exudes leadership. You have direction, you have ambition, and you have visibility in the industry. What do you think are some of the most essential leadership attributes that you possess?
Oh, that's another very good question. Some of the essential leadership attributes is, I mean, two of them that come to mind is determination and resilience. I mean, those are two very, very important things that as a leader, you need to be determined to see your goal through. You have a goal, you set a goal, even if you don't think you do goal setting, you do. Everyone does it, whether they put it on paper, whether they put it in their head, whether they dream and they think of something they want to be one day, that's a goal. And it's very important that you have a determination to see that goal through. And that goal may change as you go on your path. It's okay to change and shift and push and move goals. And those goals might do it by themselves as opposed to you doing it for them. But determination in seeing those through and feeling fulfilled once you get to a destination that you know you have succeeded is very important. And on that path, resilience is a key to staying on that path, even if it does change. You know, resilience to know you've done the right thing, or resilience to know that you may have been knocked off, but you need to get back up again. The amount of times that people get knocked off, that I've been knocked off, that you have to pull yourself back up and get up that next day and believe in what it is you are trying to achieve, you eventually get there. And then when you look back and go, I'm glad I actually did that. I'm glad I got back up. I'm glad I got back up on my feet. I wasn't feeling great, but I did what I did. And that incredible feeling of success and fulfillment does not come unless you have that determination, resilience as a person. And resilience grows. You grow and you get more resilient as every challenge comes your way. And it's only in hindsight and reflection that you look back and you see how resilient you have become from things that you have come through. Everybody has come through things in their life and their career where they didn't think they'd be able to, and they have. And every time you do that, you become more resilient and you grow and you learn. And you then on to your next challenges, which is even a bigger challenge than the one before, but you can handle it because you're more resilient from what you've been through.
And your brain actually expands. Like, our brains are plastic, and the more we give it, the brains actually respond to it and say, okay, this is what we're doing. I'm going to rise up to the challenge. Like, we're built for this. We're built to have more, do more, be more.
Agreed. 100%. It's around you as well, but you have to also know what's okay for you. You don't have to do what everyone else is doing either. That doesn't mean, you know, just because they're doing something doesn't mean you have to do it. You have to make sure you congratulate, you know, who you are and what you've done. That's very, very important, you know, to people's success and for people's belief in themselves, is congratulating yourself as you go through, and not ever, you know, being dissatisfied is a good thing because it actually encourages you to strive and go further. Although it's important to celebrate the wins, little wins, the big wins, and know that you are achieving, you know, for yourself, not to be compared to others.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. I'm thinking back to the times when I thought, that person has a great path, I'm going to go do that. And it wasn't working. You know, you don't get success fast enough when you're being inauthentic to your purpose and to your passions. And, you know, there are many attributes to you. It's that resilience, it's that determination. You are very influential in the industry and you have no qualms with standing out. But what are some other key personality traits of yours that have contributed to getting you to where you are today?
For me, it's about having the right support around you. And that's not really a personality trait, but in terms of your personality is, I guess, appreciating your family and your support network and understanding how they got you to where they got you. And I, you know, when I reflect upon my life and my career, the incredible support I've had throughout my life with my parents and my sisters and my wife and my leadership coach and my colleagues and my bosses and all the rest of it, the support is incredible. Not to say that was always there, and there was moments where, and I know that there's a lot of leaders that feel alone at times where you feel like you've got no support and no one believes in you or you can't achieve what you want to achieve and you're never going to get there. And there's definitely moments of that as well. But looking back to why I believe leaders are successful is they've had that belief in themselves with people that have believed in them, and then they believe in themselves. So it comes back for me, comes back to family and love and support and having that real sort of resilient group around you, which you create for yourself too, because you give back to them. So you create the network around you that is supportive for you because you support them. So it's a two-way street.
And look, everything that you've done and everything that you are and stand for, it's no wonder that in 2019 you were rightfully and deservedly presented with the National Association of Women in Construction's most prestigious prize, the Lendlease Crystal Vision Award. Is it too late to say congratulations?
No, thanks, Eleanor. I'm also still in shock about that award as well.
So well deserved.
Thank you.
Can you tell us what that win meant to you, and also how you've really been able to leverage that to continue being a positive influence in the industry?
What did that award mean? At the time, it didn't mean as much as it did later on upon reflection. Because when I received the award, I kind of felt, well, you know, this is just what I do. This is what I stand for. Why am I getting an award for something that I just believe in? It was quite overwhelming in a way. I thought, why am I getting this award? But then upon reflection and people saying to me, you've worked up for this award for your whole career, you've stood up for what you believe in, and this is to show you that the whole career you've done and what you've achieved and what you've stood up for and what you stand for has been appreciated and hasn't gone unnoticed, so that this award actually is a thank for that, and there's a notice of that. And that's, to me, when I reflected upon that, that was quite, again, overwhelming in another way, that I was appreciating everything I have done for myself and for the industry and for women in general, and for standing up and backing and believing in yourself even when people didn't necessarily agree with you, you know, still saying your opinion or still saying your piece or still standing up for something that maybe not everyone else did. So at the time, I didn't realize how important it was. Whilst it was overwhelming, an incredible night and amazing, only upon reflection did I realize how much had gone into, I guess, me being recognized for this incredible award, the Lendlease Crystal Vision Award with NAHWC. And I guess how has this positively impacted the industry is that, you know, a lot of people have reached out to me since that I haven't known, who've asked for advice and for contacts and to meet up and to you know, be mentored, I guess. So, and I've loved that. I've loved it. And they've mentioned things to me that, you know, what I stand for has given them inspiration and can't believe that, you know, I stand up for certain things, and it gives them confidence to do what they want to do. And if I can affect one or two people in their life in ensuring that they believe in themselves, or helping them believe in themselves, or helping them back themselves, then that's enough for me. And that's all I want, is for other people to just know that you need to be your biggest fan, right? You need to be your biggest fan. If you're not your biggest fan, then you need to find a way that you are your biggest fan. Once you become your biggest fan, then you'll feel like you can achieve anything. And it's, you know, I think it goes back to school, you know, realizing who you are and what you want to do and what you stand for and who you actually are as a person. And at school, it's quite hard for many people at school, knowing what they want and what they are and what they do, you know. And I think that meeting my wife 16 years ago and just knowing from that point, you know, who I was and what I was about and what I wanted in my life, from that moment on, there was nothing that really could could shake me in a way. So what I hope for others is that they feel the same, that they feel they are confident to be who they want to be, even if that's different to everybody else.
The feedback loop when, you know, I get the messages as well, you know, you're an inspiration and because of you, I've done something differently. It's so hard to sum up into words that feeling other than, I guess it's a deep sense of gratitude that, hey, you know, people are watching and it's our duty to be all of who we are, as we said before, and do the absolute best we can because you just don't know who that's impacting.
Absolutely.
Well, Mel, the achievements don't stop there and we could have a whole other podcast talking about your achievements. But to wrap up, I have a signature question and it's what has been one of the key building blocks within your personal or professional life that has been imperative to getting you to where you are today?
Key building block. I touched on this earlier. The key building block is to have a supportive family and partner to be there no matter what. Apart from you being your biggest fan, they are and should be your biggest fan as well. And when you feel like you can't go on or there's situations where you're challenged in relation to what the next steps may be, they are your shining light and your beacon. And for me, that's been my family, my mum and dad and my sisters and also my wife, Tyrina. You know, they have been there for me throughout and you can't underestimate those people in your life. And I'm very, very fortunate and don't take for granted that I've got them in my life to be the building block. For my personal and my professional life, it has really come back to that I've got the support around me. They believe in me more than anything, which has ensured, you know, that I, whenever I am having those moments and you're not sure what the next steps are, you know, that's, they remind you of what you are and who you stand for and what you believe in and what you do. And, you know, it goes around again because I'm there for them too in the same regard. And it's, yeah, it's very special.
Mel, thank you so much for your contributions to the industry, past, present and future. And above all the best with the baby.
Oh, thank you, Eleanor. And thank you for everything that you do as well. What you do is incredible and you're an absolute machine. And I mean that in the most effective, positive light. You are incredible. And the belief for yourself will definitely bring other people belief in their selves too. So I commend you on yourself, Eleanor. When I first met you, I knew you were something special at ADCO, and you are, and you've proven to be, and you've got so much to do in your career and your life. So thank you for doing what you do for the industry as well.
I'm moved. Thank you, Mel.
All right, we'll talk soon, Eleanor.
Thanks for listening. If you loved this episode and know of someone else in property or construction who want to achieve more and succeed in their career by learning from the best, then please share this with them. It also goes a long way if you could take 30 seconds and leave me a 5-star review and tag me on socials sharing your greatest takeaways. Until the next episode, here's to constructing you.